new you.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We traveled 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera, poročamo o južni polovni.
Mozam Bix. Ko pozornost svetovnih medijev pritegne določen dogodek v državi, o kateri se poroča dokaj sporadično, v novinarskem žargonu radi rečemo, da jo je, dogodek državo torej, postavil na svetovni zemljevid. Če pustimo ob strani, da je fraza, ki se uporablja z namenom obogatitve žurnalističnega jezika, pomenski nonsens, v svojem bistvu pa kaže na zgrešenost poročanja, na katerega se lepi patos eksotizma. Omenjena besedna zveza pravzaprav služi kot dobra istočnica za tematiko današnje južne hemisfere. Obravnavali bomo dogajanje v Cabo Delgado, severni provinci Mozambika, ki zaradi krvavih napadov lokalne uporniške organizacije za prisežene islamskemu fundamentalizmu postaja novo žarišče vojne proti terorizmu in tako pridobiva medijsko pozornost in z njo svoje mesto na svetovnem zemljevidu. Antonio 24. marca je več sto oboroženih borcev sprožilo ofenzivo na Palmo, obalno mesto na skrajnem severu države, ki si zaradi taktične dovršenosti in obsega zasluži naziv vojaške operacije. Hitra prekinitev telekomunikacijskih povezav in osvojitev ključnih izpostav varnostnega aparata, policijske postaje in kontrolnih točk sta pustila prosto pot plenjenju in nasilju. 4. aprila, ko je vladna vojska spet prevzela nadzor nad mestom, je bila Palma opustošena. Umrlo je več ducat civilistov, med njimi je vsaj 12 takih, katerih trupla so bila obglavljena. Napad je izvedla milica, znana pod več imeni. Uradno pa se glasi Alusuna Wa Jama, oziroma v prostem prevodu podporniki tradicije. Njeni pripadniki sebe sicer oklicujejo za Al-Shabab, mladino oziroma fante in tako skupino večinoma nazivajo v tudi lokalnem okolju. Kljub istemu poimenovanju predstavlja Al-Shabab v Mozambiku in Somaliji dve različni samostojni grupaciji in ju zato ne smemo enačiti, čeprav imata stične točke, zlasti vplive, o katerih bomo še govorili. Kratkotrajno zavzetje Palme je sicer del širše agende, ki jo mozambiški Al-Shabab v Cabo Delgado, vsaj v vojaškem smislu, izvajal od oktobra 2017. Od tedaj je njegova oboroženost napredovala na zavidljivo raven, pojasnjuje Emilija Columbo iz Centra za strateške in mednarodne študije v Washingtonu, ki predstavi način terorističnega delovanja Al-Shababa v omenjani provinci.
So we've seen in the past 3.5 years a big growth in the insurgent group's capabilities. Back in 2017, 2018, we saw them basically relying on machetes and whatever was sort of available at hand to attack isolated villages, the occasional individual walking to and from their fields. Since then, and especially last year, we saw a great advancement in their capabilities. Most recently in Palma, there are reports of the use of machine guns, of RPGs. We've seen them develop their maritime capabilities. It seems like a lot of this military hardware they've acquired through looting police stations and military facilities, picking up things that perhaps fleeing soldiers and police have dropped. And they've used this enhanced capability to start targeting harder targets, such as district capitals, high-profile district capitals at that. We see that in their attacks, they tend to follow a pattern where they'll isolate the town that they're looking to attack through other military operations. They'll infiltrate some fighters into the town and then attack both from the inside out and from the outside in. And they'll focus all this capability and hardware on eliminating anything that allows the state to govern. So they'll attack administrative buildings, schools, clinics. They'll attack police stations and military facilities, gather up more hardware from those attacks. They'll attack banks, places that may store food and other supplies that they need. And in this way, they can keep their numbers up and continue to grow and flourish as an armed organization.
Odmevnejši uspeh je Al-Shabaab zabeležil avgusta lani, ko so njegovi pripadniki zavzeli Mocimboa da Praia, strateško pomembno pristaniško mesto, prek katerega že desetletja poteka tihotapljenje prepovedanih drog, večinoma iz Afganistana in Pakistana, v Republiko Južno Afriko ter dalje v Zahodno Evropo in Združene države Amerike. Pristanišče je pred zavzetjem služilo tudi za transport tovora, namenjenega gradnji največjega afriškega obrata za utekočinjanje zemeljskega plina na polotoku Afungi. Ponavljajoči se napadi Al-Shabaaba, ki so se dogajali vse bližje obrata, Palma je namreč od delovišča oddaljena le slabih 10 kilometrov, so investitorje, med katerimi je največje francosko naftno podjetje Total, že decembra prisilili, da so začasno ustavili dela na projektu, vrednem skoraj 17 milijard evrov. Eden od razlogov, zakaj je Al-Shabaab razmeroma uspešen pri izvajanju svojih vojaških aktivnosti, leži v šibkosti mozambiške vojske, ki enostavno ni sposobna parirati njihovim borcem. Mozambiška vlada, ki jo vodi Carlos Agostinho do Rosario, je to spoznanje priznala, ko se je leta 2019 obrnila na zasebna varnostna podjetja iz tujine. Tako je v Cabo Delgado najprej delovala ruska družba Wagner Group, ki pa ni bila kos nalogi. Zato so ruske plačance zamenjali južnoafriški iz družbe Dick Advisory Group, bolje poznane pod kratico DAG. Najem tujih zasebnih vojska v Afriki sicer ni tako nenavaden pojav, ki pa marsikdaj odpira številne sive cone.
There is a history in Africa of governments relying on private military contractors to help shift the balance in their favor. I think in the instance in Mozambique, I suspect the police were the ones who directly contracted with the private military contractors that have helped in the fight. And I suspect it was probably out of expediency. They saw that they were struggling against these groups. They recognized where their shortfalls were and tried to bring some quick external help to boost their abilities. And in fact, to some degree, these interventions probably did help protect Pemba, for example, which hosts thousands of displaced persons. It's where the helicopters, the PMC's helicopters were based and provided some security. Some of the downfalls, however, there's a lack of accountability in terms of how much money is being paid to these contractors, a lack of accountability on occasions where there are civilian casualties at play, who holds these contractors accountable for their actions. And at the end of the day, we see in this particular context, while perhaps Pemba was a little more secure, overall, the security situation deteriorated. It was not the quick fix that perhaps some leaders hoped it would be.
Upanje, da bo težave na severu države mogoče rešiti hitro, je pri oblasti morda obstajalo na začetku prepoznavanja obstoja konflikta. Pri zapletih z izvedbo omenjenega projekta utekočinjanja zemeljskega plina pa je bržčas že splahnelo. Ironično je, da so vzroki za pojav konflikta v Cabo Delgado pravzaprav enaki vzrokom njegovega neuspešnega reševanja. Osredinimo jih lahko okoli predolgo trajajočega zapostavljanja od stranke Frelima, ki je na oblasti vse od osamosvojitve Mozambika od portugalske kolonialne nadvlade leta 1975. Rek, daleč od oči, daleč od srca, v primeru Cabo Delgado od mozambiške prestolnice Maputo oddaljenega 1600 km, velja še za tako, še za kako točnega.
It's interesting to note that as important as this region has now become because of the LNG and now the insecurity and humanitarian issues, it has a long history of neglect, of being viewed as sort of a backwater, an afterthought. It's very much disconnected from the southern portions of the country. Cabo Delgado specifically is probably the least developed province of the country. It records the highest rates of poverty and lack of development by pretty much any measure. And that sort of created the backdrop for the conflict that we see today. So the province has become strategically important because of these LNG finds. The $20 billion investment in developing these gas fields is the largest in Africa. And Mozambique's leaders were really counting on the profits from this investment down the road. We've seen now with that disruption, an impact on the ground in terms of local economies that were building to support this LNG investment. Hotels, restaurants, translators, drivers, security guards, these are all people who are now, for the foreseeable future, without a job. As a result of the conflict, this province has become more and more of a strategic concern in terms of the humanitarian situation. We now have about 700,000 people who are displaced. Most of those people are housed in private homes. Only a small minority are actually in government-run camps. This is creating additional economic pressure on those otherwise stable communities that now have to accommodate these displaced people who are themselves suffering from traumas associated with the violence they've witnessed. We also see greater international attention on this area as a potential source of greater instability, as potentially attractive to other jihadist fighters in the region who see this ascendant group and perhaps have an interest in joining and supporting the cause. So this area that for so long was ignored is suddenly sort of at the center of a lot of Mozambique's economic relations and foreign relations as well.
Upoštevajoč še druga naravna bogatstva, ki se jih v Cabo Delgado izkorišča, v provinci denimo deluje eden največjih rudnikov grafita na svetu, izkopavajo pa tudi rubine, je jasno, da je v igri veliko denarja. A tokle tega že dolgo teče mimo tankašnjega prebivalstva, ki živi v revščini. Velikopotezni projekti bogatih podjetij iz tujine pa še poudarijo družbene razlike, s tem pa resentiment do vlade, ki v očeh ljudi skorumpirano deluje le v svojo korist.
I think you add to that the sense of sort of economic and political disenfranchisement. A lot of the statements that this group has made are centered around Frelimo. We need a different government. The Frelimo government isn't working for us. I think this really came into play with the LNG investments and the expectation that there would be greater economic benefit to the youth who are really struggling to achieve a lot of those benchmarks they needed to advance in society. And then this also ties into the religious component, because these youth who felt that Islam was not being practiced the right way in Cabo Delgado, who wanted to correct what they saw as errors and found themselves shunted off to the side. Part of their narrative also became that the religious leaders who were pushing them away were in league with the Frelimo government, that they were benefiting from all these foreign investments in ways that their followers and the general population were not. So all these sort of religious grievances over the way Islam is practiced, these perceptions of corruption in the political and the religious leadership, the sense that some groups are favored over others, I think have all kind of come to a head in the book that we see today.
Verska in starostna struktura, ki jo omenja Colombo, sta v Mozambiku dokaj specifični, predstavljata pa ključno gonilo konflikta v Cabo Delgado. Čeprav v Mozambiku večino 30-milijonskega prebivalstva tvorijo kristjani, sta dve severni provinci, Niasa in Cabo Delgado, večinsko muslimanski. Država je sicer znana po verski strpnosti, a zanemarjanje severa, vzvodi, zato so večinoma politično-ekonomske narave, je okrepilo prepričanje, da se razlike počno na verski oziroma etnični osnovi. Za pozive k spremembam, ne glede na to, odkot prihajajo, le da so usmerjeni proti vladi Frelima, so še posebej dojemljivi mladi. Tisti med 15 in 35 letom predstavljajo skoraj polovico celotnega prebivalstva Mozambika. Brezposelnost med njimi je visoka, kar 80-odstotna. Odsotnost ukrepov za njeno zmanjševanje pa je še en tvornik nezadovoljstva. Benjamin Petrini iz Mednarodnega inštituta za strateške študije, prav tako iz Washingtona, pri tem izpostavlja, da je zgodovinski spomin na državljansko vojno, ki je v Mozambiku med marksističnim Frelimom in antikomunističnim Renamom divjala med letoma 1977 in 1992, med mlajšimi generacijami zbledel. Zato te spet posegajo po nasilju.
The civil war in Mozambique ended in 1993. The violence of this conflict over the 1980s and since decolonization, since independence of Mozambique, rendered Mozambique society very averse to violence, with a very sort of pacifist outlook to life. Now, if we look at the years that have passed in the mid 2010s and in the 2010s, we have the rise of a young generation that has not lived through the war, has not lived through the civil war. So this is an important dynamic where you suddenly have a new generation that does not know the civil war and is willing to resort to violence. So while it might be surprising and sudden of how violence has been used to pursue political goals, if one thinks at the generational change and the fact that there is a new young generation that has not lived through the civil war might also contribute to explain for the rise of the insurgency.
Ch Hanyimano, Hanyimano, tenga kushingo kunashkwe la saleni we baba ruwato. Ho, haiwa na mama no mazishenga ruwato.
Poslušate oddajo Južna hemisfera na Radiu Študent. Ker je odgovornost za napad v Palmi prevzela samooklicana islamska država, informacije o tem, ali res stoji za napadom ali ne, si sicer nasprotujejo, a obstajajo indikatori, da temu gre verjeti, velja na kratko predstaviti genezo Al-Shababa in njene vezi z džihadizmom. Natančen izvor skupine je neznan, a po dostopnih raziskavah sodeč organizacijski zametki Al-Shababa segajo v leto 2007, ko se je razvila iz verske sekte. Ta je zaradi svojih pogledov in navad, ki se niso skladali s tistimi večine, večkrat prišla na vzkriž z lokalno skupnostjo, od katere se je v nadaljevanju osamila. Dejavnejša je ponovno postala leta 2015, ko je začela z gradnjo svojih mošej in verskih šol. To obdobje časovno sovpada s prihodom borcev, ki so se kalili pod okriljem kenijskega islamskega klerika Abuda Roga Mohameda, ki ga je Organizacija Združenih narodov obtoževala pomoči z Al-Kaido povezanemu somalijskemu Al-Shababu. Po uboju Abuda Roga leta 2012 so se njegovi privrženci razpršili v južni smeri. Nekateri so se ustalili v Tanzaniji, drugi kasneje nadaljevali pot do Mozambika. Kmalo potem so se začeli prvi gverilski spopadi. Kot poudarja Colombo, ob zunanjih vplivih vseeno ne smemo spregledati lokalne orientacije Al-Shababa, pomembne podstati njihove identitete, vrednosti katere ne gre zmanjševati na račun povezav z islamsko državo.
I think this is a very important question that merits a lot of attention and additional sort of research. This organization that we are discussing, it was born in Mozambique. It is born out of local grievances that these individuals are seeking to address through violence. In a couple of years ago, they did sort of declare an allegiance to the Islamic State. You'll see in the few videos that they've produced, they'll fly the flag in the background. But it's very much a local organization, and their public statements are very much focused on local issues having to do with the Frelimo government and its treatment of the Muslim community and the poor Muslims in particular.
Zunanje ministrstvo Združenih držav Amerike je Al-Shabab natanko dva tedna pred napadom na Palmo uvrstilo na seznam terorističnih organizacij, in sicer pod imenom ISIS Mozambik oziroma ISIS Mozambik, kar nakazuje na to, kako gledajo na razmerje med obema entitetama. Tudi za Pietra van Ostaje je na belgijskega zgodovinarja in arabista dileme ni. Po njegovem mnenju Al-Shabab de facto je del islamske države, o čemer naj bi pričala tudi zaprisežena zvestoba samo oklicanemu kalifu Abu Bakru al-Baghdadiju maja 2018.
For me that's a no-brainer. Basically Al-Shabab is the Islamic State. There's no way in denying that, especially when you see the videos coming out of the last attack. It is the Islamic State. Whoever doubts that, he's been living under a rock for a few years, in my opinion. It's clear that the Islamic State has a global agenda still. But at this time, it's focused on the local level. And how do we know that Shabab are, or also basically that they are ISIS? Because they're in contact with the Islamic State central media office. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any claims coming out from Mozambique. And then we have the somewhat stranger relationship with the other branch of the Islamic State Central Africa province, which is in Congo. The distance between the two groups is quite big, so I don't think they're cooperating on an operational level, but they are basically two branches of the same Islamic State wilaya or province. So there is mutual influence. especially on the ideological level.
Ko od oktobra 2017, torej od padca prestolnice samooklicanega kalifata Rake in največjega uzurpiranega mesta Mosula, govorimo o islamski državi, se fokus od Sirije in Iraka vse bolj oddaljuje proti drugim afriškim državam, v katerih islamska država krepi svoje delovanje. Al-Shabaab je za vzetimi področji Kaba Delgada postal del tako imenovane centralne afriške province, ki jo tvori skupaj z islamističnimi milicami Demokratične republike Kongo. Kljub temu gre pri prepričanju, da so se aktivisti džihadistov v matici islamske države ustavile in premaknile drugam za izkrivljeno sliko realnega stanja.
First of all, the Islamic State is not defeated in Syria and Iraq. That's a misconception. The number of attacks in Syria and Iraq remain the highest number of attacks throughout the world, basically. And the problem with the Islamic State, it didn't just shift at once. It's like a tradition, the Islamic State, ever since its inception in 2013, they accepted foreign provinces. They had two provinces in Libya, for example. They were active in the Greater Sahara. So they're throughout Africa. Why exactly Cabo Delgado? Because basically the situation on the ground permits them to operate in such a way. What I'm meaning with that is basically they're feeding on the chaos that is present in Cabo Delgado, the lack of government support to the province, weak army, go on. There are a lot of reasons why they specifically are stronger in that particular province.
Če lahko s precejšnjo gotovostjo torej trdimo, da mozambiški Al-Shabaab je integriran v organizacijsko strukturo islamske države, pa se postavljajo predvsem vprašanja, kakšno razmerje zavzema lokalna podružnica do centrale, oziroma na kakšni ravni poteka sodelovanje in kdo ima od tega večje koristi, tako kratkoročno kot dolgoročno. Colombo poskuša odgovor podati z analizo trenutnega Al-Shababovega delovanja in primerjavo le tega s praksami drugih islamističnih terorističnih organizacij na celini.
If we look at this relationship in the context of other ISIS or Islamic State affiliates around Africa, one of the first things that we see in this affiliate Islamic State relationship is an improvement in propaganda, in the quantity and the quality of the public messages the groups publish. Now, in the case of this organization in Mozambique, they've been very reluctant to use the media. They don't seem to want international attention. So last year, they finally did publish a couple of, I think about three or four videos, but they were still of fairly low quality, clearly filmed on a cell phone. It doesn't seem that they've learned a whole lot in terms of marketing and propaganda from the Islamic State, which maybe is taking on this role through its own statements about claims to credit of attacks in Cabo Delgado. The other thing we often see, again, comparing it to the relationship continent-wide, is an improvement in combat tactics and capabilities, which is obtained through learning. We've seen reports in other parts of the continent where the affiliate will request advice on how to carry out an operation, request help in identifying some weapon that they've acquired and how to best employ it. That kind of distance learning takes place. And perhaps we can credit some of the developments we've seen in this particular conflict to that kind of learning taking place. What we don't see as much, and I don't have evidence to suggest we see it here either, is transfers of resources and weapons, the direct deployment of additional fighters. That's not something that's very common, and we have no evidence that it's happening here. So it really seems like it's a relationship that is still in the developmental stages. Perhaps it benefits the Islamic State more than the group on the ground because it allows the Islamic State to claim a greater reach than it perhaps would otherwise. But it's definitely a relationship to watch that I think is still developing, very much so.
Da je pri Al-Shababu opazen know-how islamske države, kar se je pokazalo v primeru napada na Palmo, ugotavlja tudi Van Ostajen. Obstaja šablona, ki sledijo praktično vse džihadistične skupine, ki izkoriščajo kaos in bedo prebivalcev nekega ozemlja.
If we refer to how they take over, it's basically a textbook material. Every time they take over a region, they always follow the same base plan, basically. That was a book written in the early 2000s by one guy named Abu Bakr Naji. It's called Idarat al-Tawahush, or The Management of Savagery, or The Management of Chaos. So basically, in that book, they describe the theoretical framework for taking over land. That's basically it. They'll start with hit-and-run operations. They will weaken the government. They will eventually drive out government forces and then take over. That's the whole idea behind it.
V zahodnem miljeju se je kot popularen uveljavil koncept, da je treba ob vzniku džihadizma v lokalnem okolju, ki ga širom Afrike podpira Islamska država, tega interpretirati z relacijo lokalno-globalno. Domač teren naj bi terorističnim skupinam služil kot poligon, na katerem se ob burjenju in doseganju prvotno zastavljenih ciljev prevzema oblasti v domicilu obračajo k tujini, v smeri Evrope in Združenih držav Amerike. Opredeljevanja do dotičnega koncepta, ki je v predstavljenem primeru močno posplošen, je na tem mestu brezpredmetno, saj terja natančnejšo analizo. A kot izpostavlja Columbo, se v vojni proti terorizmu države, ki se vanj spustijo, pogosto opečejo zaradi nerazumevanja družbene dinamike, ki jo svojim posredovanjem sprožijo. Za reševanje konflikta v Cabo Delgado se odpira več možnih scenarijev, ki so zaenkrat še odvisni od odločitve mozambiške vlade, a oslabljenost njene politične moči iz uspehi Al-Shababa zmanjšuje manevrski prostor avtonomnega ukrepanja.
I think that depends on two factors. I think first it depends on the government's approach to the conflict and the degree to which they invite other governments or other militaries into the country to help combat the insurgency and what message that sends. It seems like, you know, I think looking at, for example, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, a big turning point for that conflict was the entrance of Ethiopian troops into Somalia and how that served as a rallying cry to the jihadist community to come in and help their brothers against this foreign invasion. And I think that sort of helped escalate the conflict and create more of this war on terror sort of vibe. To the extent that the international community is thoughtful in its engagement and avoids creating sort of these moments of rallying the jihadist community, we can probably tamp it down a little bit. But similarly, to the degree that the insurgents themselves internationalize this conflict and kind of force the international community to see this as a front on the war on terror, perhaps we see more of an evolution into that sort of sphere. To the degree that we do see foreign fighters come in larger numbers in response to either a perceived provocation or just the excitement of seeing a group ascendant, perhaps we again move closer to this global event.
Da se je konflikt v Cabo Delgado deloma že internacionaliziral, priča napotitev tujih vojakov v Mozambik. Za zdaj gre za neinvazivno posredovanje. Na prošnjo mozambiške vlade in predsednika Filipeja Njusija v državo prihaja tucat zelenih baretk Združenih držav Amerike in kontingent 60 pripadnikov posebnih enot Portugalske, ki bodo izvajali urjenje mozambiške vojske. Vzpostavitev varnosti v Cabo Delgado nujnosti navkljub sama po sebi ne bo rešila konflikta, saj naslavlja le enega od členov, ki ga tvorijo.
I think any international initiative, it needs to be something that's discreet and targeted. I think one of the risks we now have as the profile of this organization increases within the jihadist community and more attention is being placed on the conflict, I think the international community needs to tread even more carefully to avoid provoking any external response. So these training initiatives, small discrete training initiatives, they can be helpful on the margins in getting some units up to speed. But what the government really needs is a comprehensive strategy, one that addresses both the security elements of this conflict and the underlying grievances, to both remove fighters from the equation, but the reason that fighters exist, the reason the conflict continues, to remove that as well. And that's something that the government hasn't really developed just yet. So international support in helping them develop a strategy might be one way to go, a sort of discreet way to kind of get a response off the ground. These training initiatives, I think even multilateral training exercises that have a positive effect on the capability of the security services to deal with the conflict, but that aren't necessarily directly tied to the conflict, might be another way as well to build connections within the region, which are also needed, necessary to rein in this conflict to some degree, and also instill that sort of learning that is needed and absent so far.
Kot smo poskušali razložiti v današnji južni hemisferi, konflikt v Cabo Delgado se stoji iz več težav, ki jim je skupno predvsem to, da se pred njimi dolgo časa miži. Ko pa to ni več mogoče, se jih rešuje z vojaškimi sredstvi. Frelimova vlada je zamudila, medtem ko je mednarodna skupnost pravočasno prepoznala obstoj morebitnega globalnega problema. Od tega, kako bo postopala sedaj naprej, je odvisno, ali bo Cabo Delgado postal novo žarišče globalne vojne proti terorizmu, ki za seboj venomer pušča opustošenje. Južno hemisfero je pripravil Fabian.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Poročamo o južni polovni. 3, 2, 1.